So why don't we read from verse 9 to 18? Okay. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may be the preeminence. So as you know, we have been going through in the evening services on the titles of Christ. And as I can remember, we have done the Alpha and Omega, the Bread of Life, the Chief Shepherd, the Chief Cornerstone, the Faithful Witness. That was the last week. I'm not sure which I've missed. But they're full. These titles of Christ are His own. They're His innate ones. It is part of Him. It wasn't given by any authority in this world. He exists. His names exist upon Him. Although it had to be written and spoken during His ministry on this earth, but all this represent what is in Him. Okay, His very nature, the beginning and the end, the bread of life. He has life within Himself. He gives life. He's the chief shepherd. He looks after His sheep. He feeds His sheep. He protects His sheep. He guides His sheep. He's the chief cornerstone. Without Him, the foundation of the church will not be possible. Without His death and resurrection, which, if you throw away this cornerstone, that's the end for you. And He's the faithful witness, the light of the world. Today we come to this new title, title of Christ called the firstborn from the dead, from this passage that we have read. We're working through the titles of Him alphabetically. His titles reveal His person and ministry. It means what He has done. They revolve around Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The titles are exclusive to Him. They are inherent in His name. They are not given by any man. And the firstborn from the dead is one such name. We consider what it does not mean, what it means, and its relevance to us. Okay? Three headings. What it does not mean, what it means, and its relevance to us. And our theme today is Jesus Christ has the preeminence over creation and the church. He ranks the highest. There's nothing higher than Him. So if that is the case, what is deserved is total allegiance to Him. If you want to exalt anything or anyone, always think of the Lord Jesus Christ first. Exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He is preeminent in creation and the church. So our first heading is what it does not mean. In Greek, firstborn can mean born first in time or being first in rank. So either it's the beginning of others, first in time, or can mean first in rank. It cannot mean born first in time because first it would imply that there are others after Him. But since He is known as the only begotten of God, in John chapter 1 verse 14, verse 18, etc., the only begotten of God, then it shows that he's unique, with none like him. So firstborn cannot mean born first in time. He must be unique because he's the only begotten of the Father. If someone says to you, if you say to someone, I'm the only child in the family, and then later people ask you, how many brothers and sisters you have, and what do they do? You say, I told you I'm the only one in the family. Do you know the meaning of only? Only means only one. And since it applies to the Lord Jesus Christ, more than the fact that he's the only one, but it's that he's unique. There's none other like him. The only begotten Son of God. So he's not as the people who have this type of mindset, only think of the physical realm, the world, earthly realm, that when you are born, begotten, it means that there's a mother. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He has always been begotten. So in terms of time, there is no time for the Lord Jesus. He has always been there. It's more to do with the fact that he has a special relationship, the Son of God, special relationship with God the Father. So, firstborn cannot mean born first in time. So, since only begotten does not mean birth or coming into existence from a point of time in terms of creation, but rather the special relationship between the Son of God and God the Father, then firstborn must mean he's the highest in rank. Okay? So don't switch your mindset to the way the other religions try to bring the Lord Jesus to an earthly type of meaning. Okay? He was never born. The eternal Son of God was never born. Okay? He didn't come to existence. He has always been in existence with that special relationship with God the Father. His incarnation is a different thing. The eternal Son of God was always the eternal Son of God and will always be the eternal Son of God, took upon himself human flesh. So, firstborn means he is the highest in rank. Then, God, so first, there aren't any others born after him. He's unique. Second, it means that he is the highest in rank. What it does not mean is that he has this what the only begotten means is that he has a special relationship between God the Father and God the Son. So firstborn must mean he has highest in rank. And thirdly, God created all things through him and in him. We read in verse 16. For by him all things were created, they are in heaven, they are on earth. So he is the creator. If he created all things, how can he be the created thing at the same time? How can he be a created being at the same time? So the creator can't create himself. So this is what we come to see, that Christ is the firstborn in the sense that he is highest in rank. So if you want to sum it all up, Christ is the firstborn in the sense he's highest in rank. So what it means is ranks above all creation. Okay? To be highest in rank. In what sphere? He ranks above all creation. He's the image of the invisible God. That is, he makes known to us God, who is otherwise invisible and unknowable by mere human power. You will never know God unless you know his Son, the incarnate Son of God. You may hear stories, you may hear many views, and people have been creating it from the endless of time, their views of God, and all in the realm of earthly existence. Because man by nature, if he does not seek God, if God does not reveal himself to him, he will never have the high view of God. He will always try to think of God in the human, earthly terms. Because you cannot see God. God is invisible and unknowable by your own wisdom. your own ability, your own searching. You may search, you may go around the whole world to try to find the truth about God, but you will not. Out of your wisdom, you will not know God unless the Lord Jesus, unless you know Him. He reveals God to us. You may remember the occasion when one of the apostles asked the Lord Jesus, just show us the Father, and that is enough. What did the Lord Jesus say? If you, don't you know, haven't you come to know me enough to know that I and the Father are one? If you had seen me, you would have seen the Father. If you had known me, you would have known God the Father. You didn't need me to tell you about Him. I and the Father are one. So Jesus is saying, I am God. If you want to know God, know me. You see? He's not only the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. He's the mediator. He's the one that you may know God from. Because He is God. He reveals God to us so that we may know Him. God cannot be known by speculation or human wisdom. A living relationship with God is different from head knowledge about God. Here defines those who study the Bible a lot. And if you go to any school of divinity, and it may be a liberal college, it may be a university that offers a Bachelor of Divinity, and it may be people who know the Bible so well, they could quote where you read that passage from, and he'll tell you. But they don't know the God that of the Bible. They only know about the Bible. See? They have no relationship with God. They study so well the Bible, but yet the eyes are blinded. Until that veil is removed before their eyes, they will never know the Lord God, because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus created all things in verse 16. It says, all things were created. Note, all things were created. So, there's nothing that is outside His realm of creation. He sustains all things, holds everything together, maintaining the existence and continuity of all things, in verse 17. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. See? When he decides to let go a portion of the universe, it just disintegrates. It just goes to energy. The energy is dissipated. In thermodynamics, you will know that the entropy, the thing about entropy, is that, you know, things are going, things are being changed more and more into energy. That is to show that the effects of sin has created this whole universe going in a spiral of degradation, of things changing for the worse. Until when the Lord Jesus returns, everything is made new again. Wow, you know, you never realize when you study physics or this sort of thing that it validates the truth. Or rather, the truth validates that. You cannot validate the truth. The truth is always highest. The truth actually validates. All along, you know, you discover the theory. Actually, the Bible has been always in the form. No power in the world is of higher rank than Christ. You know, you see this giant, you know, and you say, there's always someone taller or bigger, you know. So in your workplace, you know, you're answerable to the supervisor. Then after that, you're answerable to the assistant manager. Then there's the manager, and then there's the boss or the CEO. Or the managing director, then the CEO and whatever, then After that, there are other authorities in the public sector. There's there's the minister, all this. And then after that, there's the prime minister, or there's the president. And then after that, what is what? That's the Lord Jesus. After the Lord Jesus, there's what? No more. Nothing beyond. Because he's the highest. That's what we mean by highest. It ends there. He said, I'm the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. So of all the kings, I'm the highest. Of all the lords, I'm the highest. What type of language you want to tell you that he's the highest? He gives you this to tell you that he's the highest, highest in rank. Okay? Don't look for any further. Huh? Failure to understand this will cause fear of men and spirits. Oh, you see? And that is why you wonder why believers are often at ease when things terrible happening. Not that we are always calm. You know, we're always agitated by things that are happening, and you know, we still have remaining fears or this and that. But you know, you notice believers often have a sense of calm where others panic like anything. They're afraid of this, they're afraid of that, you know, they're afraid of the dark. They're afraid of walking through this sort of place for certain plants to be there with certain fruits. You don't walk underneath it. All type of things the world is so afraid of. Huh? I don't know whether you have heard all this, but really, that is the case. But when you realize the Lord Jesus is the highest, you have nothing to fear. Didn't the Lord Jesus say, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ? If Satan can accuse us, it is God who justifies us. At the end of the day, if you have been forgiven by God the Father, you have nothing else to fear. All the dirty heart that we have, all the sins that we have, all the bad things we have done, you could write a book about it. Someone could write a book for you. Satan could present the book of your life. You know, there was a movie called This Is Your Life. And, you know, finally they come up with the book. And, wow, you know, he's so happy because everyone is praising him. But this Is Your Life is that book of horror. It gives to you all the worms inside of your life. But you look at it, you say, hey, can you see? It's red in color. Huh? It's covered with blood. Oh, it's washed clean. Our heart is clean. Christ has died. This fountain, the fountain, you know, you plunged into the flood of what? Of blood. That big reservoir of blood. You thought you may say, hey, the blood of Lord Jesus is not enough. Hey, it's a fountain. It's an unending fountain with a big pool of blood. We're just using that type of language, you know. But the point is, it's sufficient for any of the elect to be saved. His blood is enough, and more. We'll use the word more than enough. So, where is there need to fear? You may fear the ticking of your life. There may come a point of time, but rest assured, in that moment, if you ask God in that arrow prayer for grace, He will give you grace. If you are in the dearth, the fear of death, in the midst of poverty, He will supply all our needs. If you are unloved, His love will sustain us. If you are lonely, He's always with His people. All these thoughts, when you're imprisoned by yourself, everyone has run away, has departed. Think of the Lord Jesus. All of His own, all departed when they arrested Him. But He had the Lord. He was always in communion with His Father. And so will we be when we are always trusting in Him. Okay? So Jesus Christ deserves our worship and obedience. So ask yourself what you fear the most. And then come to realize Jesus overcomes all our fears if we cast ourselves upon Him. I know we fear this, we fear that, you know, it just attacks us in the most vulnerable time. And that's because Satan likes to throw all these darts at us, fires at us. But keep calm and look to the cross, look to the Lord Jesus, and you will be able to go through. So Christ ranks above all creation. When you realize that, you will be more calm, you will be more at peace, and no one can, you can stand tall, as it were. You can face anything. Anything that the Lord wants you to do, you see it as a challenge because you know He's already conquered. He's already conquered the path for you. The last enemy is death. Satan will be next. And we still fear? Yes, we still feel fear because that is our weakness. But when we are strengthened more and more by His Word, our communion with Him is more and more. Oh, I tell you, the time just passed, and you wonder, oh, the time has passed. And I seem to be in a dream. And the dream is a wonderful dream, and it's a real thing. It's about the Lord Jesus. May you have wonderful dreams that of Him, because that are, those things are real. Some of our adventures in our dreams appear so fantastic because they are not real. But may we have good dreams. May we have good thoughts of the Lord. Okay, we must move on. He is highest in rank in the church. He has come to specially die for His people, and He was raised as the first fruits of those who died in death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. In other words, His resurrection guarantees their resurrection. I don't know whether you've eaten rambutan or some other fruit. Here you are, you got all these green fruits, green rambutans coming up. Wow, when you pluck one and you open and you eat, yeah. You know, because the green rambutan is terrible. Then one day you see it turns yellow, and one day you see one of them turns red, but the others are all green. That red one is a sign that all the others will follow suit, and within a few days or a week, every one of them turns red, and so will we be, because Christ, being the first fruit, He has died and He has risen from the dead, is a guarantee of all who follow Him, that they will be risen from the dead. It guarantees their resurrection. Those who trust in Him for salvation will be raised with new and glorified bodies suited to life in heaven forever. This will happen when Christ returns to judge the world. He's highest in rank in the church. He came to die for us. He's a first fruit. Then the risen Christ is now the head of the church, which is a reference to those who belong to Him, for whom He died to save, in verse 18, says, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He came to save the church. He is the beginning of the church, the one who died to save His people. All who belong to Him will be raised from the dead. In heaven, Christ will have the preeminence. Will He have the preeminence in the church today? Will all acknowledge Him? How will you show that He is preeminent in your life and in the church? His Word. If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will love Him, and I will manifest Myself to Him. The Lord Jesus said that the Father will love you because you obey the Son. See? How will you show that He is preeminent, that He has the highest place? No pope, no tradition, no elders, no pastors, no rich members, no politicians, no president will have the highest place. The Lord Jesus will have the highest place. And if we obey Him, we show that He is preeminent. Because we obey His Word. You obey the King, It shows you are loyal to the king. It shows he has the highest. If you disobey the king, what does it show? A bad spirit. It shows an evil desire to resent, to overthrow. But with the Lord Jesus, if you obey him, it shows, if you obey him in his word, it will show that you will love him. And the Father will love him and manifest himself. So preeminent means exalted, highest, foremost, supreme, no rival. So let it be. Firstborn also speaks of his relationship to them as elder brother, one who is highly esteemed and loved. I don't know whether you have experienced, but sometimes people have a taiko looking after them. But in the world, the taiko doesn't like you. You didn't behave as he just kicks you out. But not the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus saved us, and he will keep us till that day. He will bring us safely. So just as the shepherd what feeds his sheep, guards his sheep, and guides his sheep, the Lord Jesus, being our elder brother, will do all of that for us. He is to be highly esteemed and loved. He is still our Lord and teacher, John chapter 13, verse 13. Our friend, John chapter 15, verse 15. And now he is our eldest brother, John chapter 20, verse 17. You'll never be alone. I don't know where that was. There was some movie. Yeah, it says you will never be alone. I don't know. But in this spiritual case, you will never be alone. Where you walk, he will be with you. In the valley of the shadow of death, what does he say? I will be with you. In times of trials, we turn to him who is our powerful and wise brother. He intercedes for us as our high priest. He offered himself as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. That is what the definition of the high priest in the catechism. He offered himself as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. And he continually intercedes for us in heaven. So we know our Father in heaven will hear us. Because we have such a perfect intercessor, we have such a perfect high priest of the order of Melchizedek, which is eternal, is as good as done. So, remember we learn in the morning, he answers all our prayers. He answers our prayers. Not he may answer our prayers, he answers our prayers. We have this confidence. It's a confidence found in his word. Based on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and him as high priest interceding for us, we have this confidence. It is not a self-confidence. Throw away all the self-confidence because it will disappoint you. You feel so discouraged when you are disappointed, isn't it? Because you rely on your own flesh. But when you rely on his word, he will never disappoint us. So, no power in the whole universe can prevent the salvation and resurrection of those who belong to Christ. The gates of Hades cannot prevail against the church. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Even death, even all principalities and all whatever, the sword, perils, whatever, cannot separate us. So shouldn't the believer have a sense of joy in him, an inward joy that radiates out when it tells people of the Lord Jesus Christ? He lives. But you tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, he lives. Yeah, you are not believing that he lives. You tell people he lives. He lives, that's why I live. Tell it with confidence, because Christ is in us. How can we give such a low view of Christ to others? We are not convinced ourselves. So, what it does not mean, what it means, is he ranks above all creation. He's highest in rank in the church. And then we come to see that what is the relevance to us? we must give him the preeminence in our lives. We live for him, whatever our vocation may be. He's our Savior and Lord. He's our shepherd and eldest brother in God's family. Dot, 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 dot. There's so many titles of Christ, so many things about Christ. Like this wonderful gem. If you look at the gem, there's all the faces of that gem I've used before. All the gem, all the faces, they all shine. They have their luster. They have their beauty. It's perfect. It's the perfect gem. The most perfect gem you could find. And you could spend all your time looking at beautiful faces. And each face could preoccupy you. So look at it as, oh, Christ is our chief shepherd. Oh, and then one, two, three, four. See, when you're walking with your catechism, you know, in your mind, what is the chief end of man? What? No, 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 no. And there comes a time, you know, one of the face is the chief shepherd. There's another face, another part of that gem. Okay. So let us have mental exercises like that. So in times of trials, we must turn to him. We must pray in his name. We know our Father in heaven will hear us because Christ is interceding for us. He is always with his people by his Spirit. I've already said he executes that office of priest in his once offering of himself. You only need to offer once. The ceremonial, the sacrificial system was weak. Its purpose was just to point to Christ. You know, if you relied on that, so every day, every time you had to sacrifice an animal, but he's once and for all, he has done it. And not only that, it's effectual. The blood of the animals could not cleanse sin. Really. Otherwise, what for you keep repeating it? Hebrews say so. But the blood of the Savior washes us clean. Once and for all. And always. And you know, you look at the picture in heaven. His wounds are there. He's portrayed as the Lamb of God who was sacrificed from all eternity, as it were. His wounds are there. It is to remind us that we owe him for all eternity. And to remind that this is the most exalted Savior with the glory of his love and his sacrifice. So if we were to venture, why the Lord would do such a thing? Send his only beloved Son to die for his people, to face such terrible agony of soul. We are just amazed. But behind it, is it that hint that this will bring the glory of God to a higher level? We don't want to venture into it, but if you could look and see, oh, this exalts the Lord. See? He would be glorious if there was no sin and the human race was exalted to a righteous state in obeying him by not eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they would be exalted to a higher plane because they would know that they would have chosen the right from the wrong. But Adam chose the wrong. But in this case, when the plan of salvation came and the Son of God would come and offer himself as a sacrifice, and all this would lead to showing love to an undeserved people who were sinful. We dare not venture into the unknown, but it's praise for all eternity. Let's move on. We must give him the preeminence in the local church. The worship and teaching should always be directed to him as the head and savior of his people. Wherever you go, go to a church that makes much of Christ and his cross. So the word must have our highest preeminence. Then Christ will have the highest preeminence. Then the Lord will be glorified. Always remember, if you felt we hope not, so dissatisfied with this church, go to one that has this, has the highest, the Word of God. and don't go to church where everything is man-centered. The word of God has a parallel level with man. It should have the highest. Don't go to a church that is when men disagree to the Bible, his disagreement wins over the Bible. Never go to a church like that. If ever, I hope not, but ever you feel so dissatisfied, unhappy with the church, find one that loves the word of God and wants to obey. Point people to him. That's the relevance, that he is the firstborn of the dead, that he has highest preeminence. Obey him by obeying his word and point people to him. The gospel is Christ crucified. Preach the gospel correctly. Be Christ-centered and cross-centered in our message. So go to a church that has the cross always. Exalting the word, but the message is always Christ and him crucified. You will not be dissatisfied when the word is held to that level of honor. Preach the gospel correctly. Have your facts correct. So we cannot go too far if we are Christ-centered and cross-centered. So are you a Christian yet? Do you still remain in your state after seeing all the blessings that are found, all the spiritual blessings that are found in Christ and available for all his people? Come and join us in following him. You who still remain outside the door of salvation. He's the firstborn from the dead. He guarantees that if you follow him, if you trust him and turn from your sin, you shall be with him. Where I am, you will be with me. So today you will be with me in paradise. He said to the one who was crucified beside him. So he will bring you safely there. He's our eldest brother. He's the firstborn. He's already guaranteed it by rising from the dead. So what keeps you from following Jesus? What holds you back? Your pride? Are you too proud to come to the cross? May God destroy your pride and bring you so low that you all your tears would never be enough. His blood is all you need. Come to him today. Nothing else can save you. Nothing else is worth. He sits on the throne. He sits at the right hand of the one of majesty. And he alone will have that preeminence. God will see it in the church. If you reject the Lord Jesus in the church of holding that position, God will deal with you sooner or later. And for his people, they can only lift up the banner of the truth, lift up his name high, rejoice. They lie in their beds, only having wonderful dreams, with eyes open. Those are the dreams they have. Okay, let us.